I'm Shanna Brady, as the host of The Extra, the show that brings you the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Today is World Hearing Day. You know, with the pandemic, adults and kids have been plugged in to the ninth degree, to earbuds and headsets for hours at a time, dealing with phone calls, schoolwork, meetings, you have it. And often we don't think about what that is doing to our hearing. Sometimes we don't even pay attention to the volume. Did you know that sounds above 85 decibels can be harmful? And that's why we're joined by a representative today of the Hearing Industries Association. Their president, Kate Carr, is joining us today by phone. And Kate, thank you, first of all, for joining us so much for this show. Tell us what you think is, the number one misconception about hearing loss.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Shannon. It's great to be able to connect with you and your listeners. There are many misperceptions about hearing loss, the first of which is it might only happen to you when you're older. But in fact, hearing loss can be a result of genetics. It can be caused by medication. We now see in some cases where it appears to be caused by COVID. We're not quite sure about that, but we're looking into it.
And in terms of the numbers that we're talking about, I mean, what sort of percentages of people in different age groups experience hearing loss?
Hearing loss most frequently is associated with those who are older. And that's age-related hearing loss is a fact. It does happen. But we now see that one in five teens have hearing loss, and largely because of noise exposure. Exactly what you were saying as you started this segment, we're plugged in. And sometimes we're plugged in at a hearing level that is far too high, and it causes damage to our ears.
And when we talked about that level that was mentioned, above 85 decibels could be harmful. But what about in lower ranges that are not quite 85, but maybe closer to that? I mean, is it, I guess, the kind of thing where it's accumulative?
It's not so much cumulative. Normal voices, our normal voice is at 60 decibels. There are some fun apps that you can use to understand not only your speech and the speech of those around you or the TV or the radio, but our appliances that are around us every day. Our ears can take a beating. And if we don't give them a rest, you can have some damage associated with it. Think about if you go to a concert where the music is really, really loud. You know, you might have some problems for a day or two or longer, depending upon how long and how close you were to the speakers. Noise can harm your ears.
Right. And when you're talking about that, I guess we do expect it for older people, perhaps, you know, over the age of 70. But when it comes to younger people, I'm guessing that hearing loss would be something, it would be, first of all, so out of the norm that they might not even recognize it.
Most people don't recognize their hearing loss, young and old, because it's very gradual. So over a course of time, you may not be aware of some of the sounds that you're missing, particularly those at higher frequencies. Think of a child's voice, for example. And so that gradual loss is one of the reasons that many people, particularly those who have age-related hearing loss, put off doing something about their hearing health.
Right. And hearing health, it's not just related to hearing, right? It can lead to other health issues.
Absolutely. Hearing loss is associated with higher rates of depression, dementia, falls, social isolation. Even mild hearing loss doubles the risk of dementia, triples it if you have moderate hearing loss. And if you have severe hearing loss, you're five times more likely to develop dementia. So understanding where your hearing is by going to a hearing care professional and getting your hearing screened, that's just a good practice for overall good health.
I remember in school, they used to offer hearing exams when I was growing up. Do they do that anymore?
Yes, they do. And in fact, the other thing that was added, I know after my children were born, is hearing screening for newborns. 98% of newborns actually have their hearing screened before they leave a hospital, which is a great thing. The downside is if there is a problem, not every child actually gets the appropriate follow-up care. And as you mentioned, in schools, hearing tests do occur. Where they don't occur is when we're older and we're at a higher risk of losing our hearing. So that's why our message is so important, because it's not only improved your quality of life if you have better hearing, but it leads to it just leads to an improvement in the quality of life. I guess I'll leave it at that. The risk we've already stated.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about hearing loss, there are aids, you know, hearing aids, everybody's heard of those. But is hearing loss reversible? I mean, are there things once lost that you can do to regain it? Or is it one of those things that you'll always be suffering it when the damage is done?
At this point in time, it is not possible to reverse hearing loss. There's a lot of research going on to see if we can develop some type of treatment that would reverse it. But the damage that's done to those little hairs that are inside your ear, once they're damaged, they don't regenerate. Now, going forward, might we have a cure to allow those hearing hairs to regenerate? You know, I hope so. But right now, that's not the case.
All right. We need to take a short break right here. We're with Kay Carr, president of the Hearing Industries Association. And we should mention today is World Hearing Day. And so with our focus on that, when we come back, we're going to be talking about why the pandemic could lead to an epidemic of hearing issues if people don't take the proper precautions. That's coming up after this short break here on The Extra. We're back with The Extra. Kate Carr is our guest today as we mark World Hearing Day. And Kate, you touched on this a bit, but I want to take you back in time. Back to, you know, first when we had the pandemic and the closures announced, it had the air of an emergency. But then as we settled down and realized that this was going to be a long-term thing, schools and places of employment and, you know, other ways that you might have met with colleagues or friends all started transitioning to more of this virtual space. And a lot of folks at that point started slapping on the headsets. And when you saw this trend starting to happen, what was going through your head as far as, you know, how this relates to the work that you do to try to protect our hearing?
You're exactly right that we do have a concern about the proliferation of people wearing earbuds or headsets and wearing them all day long, and particularly if they're wearing them where the volume is higher than 85 decibels. Now, not everyone is going to understand what their decibel level is, although you can, as I pointed out, find it on an app. But if it's so loud that the person next to you can hear it, it's probably too loud for you. This is a problem, you know, because that excessive noise exposure could lead to loss of hearing. And, you know, we are so reliant upon what we have to do today to adapt to the pandemic. So this is a message to get out there. Give your ears a break. You know, turn down the volume or take off the headsets or earbuds so that your ears do get a break, and really be careful about your volume level.
Right. I have a teenager, and I know that I can hear those discussions that are going on the cell phone, even when she has her earbuds in. So would you say that's something that, you know, we need to be starting to preach to our teens? You know, you could face hearing loss if you keep at it this way.
Yes, and as a mother of three, I know how hard it is to deliver that message and then actually to get your child to lower the volume. But it's really important that we try and educate them about that. You know, as we said, there are other consequences that are related to hearing loss and that might lead to problems later on in life that could be avoided. That's one of the real key messages of World Hearing Day, is that we can prevent hearing loss from noise exposure, and we should.
Right. And could there also be impacts on your hearing from the different, because I know that the different pods have different shapes. Some do not bother my ear as much as other ones do. Same thing with a headphone. Some really start to bother my ear if I wear them too long. Is that something we should be also looking out for?
Well, I can't really answer that, to be quite honest. I don't know if the form of the earbud or AirPod really can create more or less damage, and I don't want to mislead your listeners on that one. Really, it's about what noise is going into your ear and at what volume, and that's the important part that we want to pay attention to.
Right, because it's all about something that, at this point, medical science can't reverse if you experience hearing loss, right?
That's correct. It would be great if we could reverse it, but we don't have that solution yet. Mm. Research is underway, but as of today, it doesn't exist.
Are your hearing experts who are part of the Hearing Industries Association, are they, bracing possibly for an influx of new hearing loss patients because of everything experienced during the pandemic?
So before we get to what might happen 10, 20 years or 30 years from now, today, the hearing aid adoption rate is very low. It's like one in three people who could benefit from a hearing aid actually have one and use it consistently. So of the 38 million people in the United States and the close to half a billion around the world who have a hearing loss, a small, small, small number of them are actually availing themselves of an opportunity to improve their hearing health.
Wow. And I assume that a lot of it is cosmetic. People don't like the looks of it, but hearing aids have really changed in recent years. I mean, they're much less cumbersome than they used to be, right?
Oh, absolutely. The technology that is associated with today's hearing aids has made the size of hearing aids so small that if you're wearing one that is inside your ear, you can't even tell that you have a hearing aid in, as compared to an earbud or my AirPods. You know, some of them are nearly invisible. And the ones that fit behind the ear, they're pretty sleek. And some people are choosing not to blend them in with their hair, but to make a fashion statement and to wear them in reds and blues and other colors, sort of loud and proud. So the technology has definitely improved on them, and the inclusion of Bluetooth technology really allows for a whole host of different things. You can stream them from your phone directly into your hearing aid, from your TV into your hearing aid. They can mask tinnitus. They can provide a way for those with hearing loss who might struggle hearing someone with a mask. There are features now that can improve your ability to hear someone who has a mask on. There are even ones that have a fall detector in them. We really are seeing just an explosion in the opportunities, much like we see in other things that are either medical devices or consumer electronics. The world is moving fast, and the hearing manufacturing industry is keeping up with it and improving the device so that they can improve a person's life.
Well, if you're listening to this right now, and maybe you're struggling to listen to some of it because maybe you're worried about your hearing, you can find out more information at betterhearing.org. We have more of The Extra continuing after this. We have to take a short break. Kate Carr is our guest today from the Hearing Industries Association, but we are focusing our attention today on World Hearing Day. When we come back, some action steps that you should take if you have concerns. Welcome back to The Extra. Our guest today, Kate Carr, the president of the Hearing Industries Association, and we're talking about World Hearing Day, especially as new research has come out that 80% of us consider hearing loss serious, so why do we ignore it? The research showing that sometimes that happens, as Kate, you were just showing, that there are 30-plus million Americans who could possibly benefit from tapping into the resources of a hearing aid or some sort of hearing technology. What about these take action steps? Why don't you, I guess, run through some of them for us? Some reasons why taking action today could be so necessary for people who are experiencing this.
The most important thing I would encourage people to do is that if you notice you or a loved one have a hearing loss, find a way to a hearing care professional to get your hearing tested. And you can find those on our website, betterhearing.org. You can take an online test. There are a series of questions that we have, like if you have to turn up the TV volume, you might have a hearing loss. So get your hearing tested. And for those who are older, make it a part of your normal physical examinations. So incorporate it, whether it's every year or once every 3 years, check your hearing, because when you're in your 60s, one out of every three persons have a hearing loss. When you're 75, it's every other person. So you really want to get on getting your hearing tested. Now, that's harder. We saw a decline in hearing testing due to the pandemic, but we're hoping that as things improve, people will get out there and see a hearing care professional. As I noted earlier, hearing loss occurs gradually. So you may not realize that what you heard a year, 5 years, 10 years ago is not what you're hearing now. So that's why, again, a baseline is really important. We've touched on technology and the improvements. There are misperceptions that people have about hearing loss related to, do I have insurance coverage? Can Medicare pay for it? And perhaps we can touch on that, because hearing aids can be affordable and Medicare Advantage actually does provide coverage for hearing, dental, and vision. So there might be a solution for you. And we all worry about what the cost is.
Mm-hmm. And how often should you be getting your hearing tested, say if you're in that age group where you should really start addressing it?
We looked at what the professionals recommend. And the recommendation is, once you turn 50, have a baseline and think about getting your hearing tested every 3 years after you turn 50. That may seem like a lot, but it's a painless test. And at 50, you're going to understand what your baseline hearing is. If you've had noise exposure, it may not be as great as what you think it is. And as you get older, you might begin to chart that there is a difference in your hearing, or you might be fortunate and say, my hearing is as great as I want it to be.
Right. Oh, well, it's some really informative stuff here, Kate Carr, that we appreciate you sharing with our listeners. We're going to be taking a short break again. We'll be back with more of The Extra right after this. Kate Carr, our guest today, president of the Hearing Industries Association, and we're going to be talking more about World Hearing Day. And listen up, because this is something that affects not just your hearing, not just your ability to listen, but also well-being on a number of other fronts, including your ability to ward off dementia and depression. That's coming up as The Extra continues after these messages. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, the person that we've got giving us information is Kate Carr, president of the Hearing Industries Association. Kate, how did you get involved in this cause?
Thank you for asking that. I was recruited for this position. I have worked in a number of not-for-profits, many of them dealing with global health issues, HIV/AIDS, malaria, accidental injury to children. What appealed to me about this is that hearing loss is something that we really don't pay attention to. Or maybe we sort of look at our older parents, as I looked at my dad, and we would joke about him not being able to hear us. I'm shaming myself by admitting that, but I didn't understand a lot. And I saw an opportunity to help educate people in a way that could lead to better outcomes in their lives. And that truly was what resonated for me.
Right. Because as we mentioned earlier, hearing loss is more than just one sense, one medical issue. It can lead to other medical issues. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Absolutely. We know that hearing loss is associated with depression. People who can't hear might want to withdraw from the activities that they loved before. It also is associated with dementia, with an increase in falls. It's depression. It has, in medical terms, serious comorbidities that are associated with hearing loss. Now, it's not proven yet that hearing loss will result in dementia. That study is underway. What we know is that hearing loss is associated at greater rates with depression, dementia, isolation, and falls. So we certainly want to encourage people to become educated. That's what World Hearing Day is about. It's an opportunity to educate yourself about one of your vital senses and to treat it in an appropriate fashion.
Right, because as you mentioned, it often is associated with aging, which often does result in the not impairment, but the gradual loss or softening of other senses. For instance, eyesight tends to get affected. Sometimes people who are aging lose their sense of taste as well. And so you have all of that coupled within the hearing loss. It can be a lot if you're not being proactive for an older person to be handling at once. So, and hearing loss is something that it may not be reversible through medical means, but there are aids that are available, hearing aids. I've never investigated whether hearing aids restore hearing 100% or what sort of percentages do you get back?
Well, it depends upon every individual, so that a person with mild hearing loss and the improvement that they get from a hearing aid might be different than a person who has a severe hearing loss where there's much more extensive damage. What we do know is that hearing aids can be adjusted to a unique need of an individual to help them improve. And while I can't say that it's going to be 100%, because we wouldn't make that promise, we can say that our research indicates that people do say they have a better quality of life, and they're satisfied with what's happening now at higher rates than 10, 20 years ago because the technology has improved so much.
And we have a lot of listeners who are veterans. For a veteran, is a hearing aid, is that something that's covered under insurance?
The Department of Veteran Affairs actually has a program to provide hearing aids to our veterans who have served our country, and they will find that they get a high quality hearing aid at no cost.
Well, that's a good deal. Okay, so that handles those who are listening who are veterans. Now to those who are listening perhaps that maybe are not ready to go visit the doctor's office in person, because, you know, you mentioned going and getting your hearing checkup. That may be something that some of our listeners just aren't prepared to do as the COVID risk continues, even with more and more people getting vaccinated. So are there any options for those people?
If a person has access to a computer and a headset, and we've talked about that, you can do an online hearing check. Now, an online hearing check is going to help you understand, you know, how you're doing with sound levels. But a hearing check by a hearing care professional is going to take a look at, is your problem that you have a medical problem that is serious and is causing your hearing loss and has to be addressed? Or do you have something as simple as wax in your ear that's blocking your hearing, and that once the wax is removed, your hearing improves? That's why when people are ready to take that step, it's important to go and get their hearing screened. And I know that these visits really can be done and done where the hearing care professional is wearing a mask, that all the safety precautions are in place to allow you to do it safely and without, I think, less risk than going to my supermarket.
Right,
so,
right.
Because you're really dealing one-on-one with a person as opposed to the exposure in your local market.
Okay. Well, Kay Carr, as we get ready to wrap up here in our marking of World Hearing Day, we should mention that, you know, it's a celebration of an important sense. If you have your hearing, think of how much richer your life is as that hearing is lost. If you experience hearing loss, imagine that wonderful richness of the sounds of birds and leaves rustling in the leaves, even, you know, the quiet that you hear on a day of freshly fallen snow, all of that will be eliminated or loosened from your life. So, Kay Carr, as we get ready to wrap up here in marking World Hearing Day, what are some final thoughts? We have about a minute left.
The most important thing I can encourage people to do is to get their hearing tested and to become educated about what good hearing is about and how you can have better hearing if you have a hearing loss. Lots of information on our website, betterhearing.org, but think about scheduling that visit if you suspect that your hearing is not as good as it used to be.
All right, some timely tips. If you're over the age of 50, start considering that hearing exam once every 3 years. As Kate was mentioning, when you hit the age 60, probably better do it annually. And if you have concerns about your hearing, a hearing professional can help you iron those out, like Kate was saying. And again, directing everyone who is interested to betterhearing.org for links to online tests and informational resources. Kate Carr, our guest for today, marking World Hearing Day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me join you, and best wishes to you.
And thanks to all our listeners here on The Extra.